microphone.
Hello, hello. Okay, we're on. So anybody out there, if we have any issues, you know who you are. Go ahead and text me. Let me know about volume volume of the microphone and feedback or any issues we may be having. You have tuned in to the Shit Show with J-Bo and special guest Lila Maupin, yeah, from Longview, Washington, who also plays drums in a not so little anymore. I don't know, Taco Cat. You guys are kind of blowing up, I think.
I guess so. Am I doing this right?
I think.
Am I supposed to be able to hear myself like that?
No, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, we're huge.
Well, you kind of are, like locally. You're getting all these crazy bills, like you did that thing with the fruit bats.
Yeah.
How was that?
Fruit bats.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It was like some kind of campfire.
Yes, there it is.
Campfire.
That
thing.
One. That was really interesting. I was out in Woodinville, and it was in this beautiful, like, beautiful Northwest backyard with, like, garden lights and a pond and all the free backpacks you can handle.
They gave free backpacks away?
Yeah, it was sponsored by JanSport. And
shit, I wish I would have gone.
We got so many backpacks, and they are just the best backpacks. I love my JanSport backpack.
Did you get just one?
Well, no.
You got a couple. That's how I would have done it, too.
Yeah. It was a situation. That was actually the first time that I can remember that we ever had an official writer.
You had a writer.
A writer. Yeah. Like, they're like, you're going to play this. What do you want?
Like Van Halen style.
Yeah. Okay. And the only thing on our writer was a bottle of Cazadores. Which is like really expensive tequila. I think it's Eric's favorite tequila.
He just suggested it.
Eric apparently wrote the writer. Do you write a writer? I don't know.
Yeah. Type it maybe.
And then there it was. And so we were drinking a lot of tequila. I've never had Cazadores, and that kind of like actually sparked my new like fancy tequila kick. It's the next level.
Cazadores.
Yeah. Wow. So we played that show with the Fruit Bats and C-Pony, which are our label mates.
C-Pony's your label.
Yeah.
As in Hardly Art.
Yeah. Yeah, that was wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Have I ever had a writer? I don't think so, but I've played with bands that did have writers, and I thought it was funny that a bunch of clean, they had socks on their writer.
Oh, yeah.
Like played with Early Mart, I think. Some band from California, and they had a bunch of socks. I don't know.
I worked at the Showbox for a couple years. Oh, we did. All of us did. Every single person in Tucker has worked at the Showbox. Oh, yeah.
That's the key.
And when Snoop Dogg came through, I went up into his like green room area, and there was the writer was up there. Like, not the stuff, but like the paper. After all of a sudden done and everyone's going home, I took the list of like the things that Snoop Dogg requires to play.
I'm sorry, you said paper?
Yeah, like the piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
That we had, like the list of like, this is what Snoop Dogg needs in his green room writer. Mm-hmm. I took it home. It was long. It was like 3 pages long.
Did it involve any illicit substances?
No, not on the writer.
You couldn't have that, yeah.
I know that video games were on it.
Like what, like an Xbox will be there or something like that?
This is a couple years ago. I can't remember everything, but I don't think I have it still. I wish I did.
That'd be a fun job, I think, to be the person who fetches all that shit.
Right? I probably know that person. Because I worked there. Somebody who did it. I don't know
who it was.
They
literally have to go get an Xbox.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Wow. Yeah, like Snoop Dogg needs an Xbox and like fruit and water and, you know, there was a lot of particular things. Wow. It was very interesting.
That's great. Yeah. I think the Showbox is the best place in town to see a show for my money.
It's good. Yeah. I've seen
as far as like
hundreds of shows there.
It sounds great.
Yeah. The market is good. The soda.
That's what I mean.
The whack. I would like to correct myself. Snoop Lion.
Oh, Snoop Lion.
Sorry. Yeah. I apologize. Snoop Dogg. Excuse me, Snoop Lion.
So yeah, you got the writer. And the only thing on your writer was tequila then?
That's it. Yeah. That
was what. Did nobody else see the writer? I mean,
I don't know. Okay. I don't remember looking at it, but I'm kind of always like the last to know. Mm-hmm. So
Why is that? You're so easygoing?
I guess so. I will say, like, I don't have access to, like, the email all the day long because I work at a restaurant. And other people, like, work in offices or whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So I feel like if, you know, like, for example, Emily works in an office, so she sees the email before I do.
She'll see the
email. And then, like, yeah. You know, but I think that in general, she's just better at being on top of that kind of stuff. I'm a little bit not.
Cool.
Yeah.
Understood. So, yeah, you did the campfire thing with the sea, fruit bats. I call them sea bats. No.
Fruit bat. Yeah, it's fruit bats, sea pony.
You got to open for Shonen Knife.
Yes.
It's great. Japanese pop band.
Yes.
I had heard about Shonen Knife back in the 90s through, you know, listening to Nirvana and whatnot. I know.
They toured with Nirvana. Yeah.
And how was that? Did you get to hang out with those ladies?
A little bit. It was like.
Do you speak English?
Yeah. It was pretty surreal. I remember loading in to the back of the tractor and. They were sound checking mm-hmm. when we were loading in, and it was just like this like moment, like this like giddy like holy shit, you know.
yeah.
And that was surreal, and we hung out like behind the merch table with mm-hmm. them, like we were all selling our merch. The girl selling their merch, well, I think was not in the band. It was like their friend or roadie. She was really sweet too, and we all got like photos together. We hung out really late into that show, trying to like get a big group photo with all of them. But the people that were like fans, like buying their stuff, it was like we waited and waited and waited, wow. And then it was like we gotta go to bed. Like we didn't get the group photo.
So you mean after their set?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So but we did. We talked to them a little bit, and they were just. Just the kindest, sweetest,
nice.
Most amazing.
Were they ladies. On tour then, just around America?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not really sure, to be honest, but they must have been. Yeah, that was a big moment for me personally. I think for all of us.
Like, no, I just discovered Taco Cat. I mean, you know, I'd heard the name a lot, to tell you the truth, just playing at shows. But you know, you hear a million band names in Seattle. Taco Cat kind of stuck out rather
because
okay. It's interesting. It's what's that word? What's same as forward as it is backwards? Palindrome. Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, and but then you guys got signed to Hardly Art.
Yep.
And I know Hardly Art. I mean, I was a huge fan of a couple of their bands, and particularly like the Duchess and Duke.
Oh yeah,
I loved that band.
That album was solid.
Yeah.
That was the big deal.
And so I always, you know, I think Hardly Art clearly has some great taste, and I heard you guys signed to that. And then I saw the video for Volcano, which I can't find on the internet anymore, which is weird.
What video?
There was a music video for Volcano, wasn't there?
The one where we're like in a backyard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really not cool. On the internet anymore. If you can't find it on YouTube, it's definitely on Vevo. Because I think it was originally a Vevo thing, and I think it maybe yeah. was on YouTube, kind of, maybe. But it's definitely on Vevo. Or no, not Vevo. What's the other one?
Vimeo.
Vimeo. There it is. Yeah. Close.
Cool. Because Vimeo's
it's a Vimeo problem. Thing. And Vimeo, I have a little bit of a problem with Vimeo. But
oh, do tell.
It's just like, I get it, Vimeo, your videos look really great. But they don't pop up in searches that well. Like I, you know, like right. it stuff is out there, and like Vimeo is not going to show it to you. And then when you want to load it, sometimes it loads slowly.
Off of YouTube?
Vimeo and YouTube sometimes they're like on both, but I think someone has to go in there and like make that happen.
Point blank, the song for or Volcano, is the video is not on YouTube. To my knowledge.
To my knowledge, it's not either. It's only on Vimeo. See, that's.
But I found it back in the day, and
yeah.
I liked the song enough to post it. You know, and Which says a lot for a local band, I think. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw that Everett True really liked it.
Oh.
And Everett True, he's quite brutal with a lot of his criticisms, and he's like, "This is a song I actually like," or something.
That yeah.
I was like, "Wow, there's a local band, and that's awesome."
That you know? Bree, the bass player in Taco Cat, is a huge Everett True fan. I mean, we're all fans, but she introduced it to me, yeah. And
I like Everett True's work.
Yeah,
I've gotten into arguments with him on his site, but I think it's in good
Oh, yeah.
Good humor or something.
The day that he, like, mentioned anything about Taco Cat, we were all just like, what?
No, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
I remember when he was a Seattle editor, music editor, Stranger music editor.
Oh, okay.
Back in the late 90s. And I just loved his brutal critiques. I thought he was so funny.
Yeah. Wait, I said Brie introduced it to me, and I read some of the stuff, and I was like, oh.
He's for real. He basically put grunge on the map in Europe.
Wow.
So basically back in the late 80s, Sub Pop flew him in as a British journalist for NME or Melody Maker, one of the two, or something else, but it was along those lines. And he started reporting about Mudhoney and Nirvana and Tad and that whole thing, and he got it kicked off in Europe. I mean, it was kind of bigger over there before it was bigger.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very cool.
That's
because he lives in Australia now.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to see Taco Cat, and it was the same day that I hit you up on Facebook, just saying, whatever, I have a million friends I don't know personally on Facebook, so I just...
Sure.
I said, hey, I like your band, blah, blah, blah. And that same day I saw you guys were playing. So I was like, I hope it's not too weird, but...
Is this a funny button day?
Funny button day.
Okay.
I went and saw it, and I was really into it. You know, I thought it was a great, energetic show. I would recommend anybody out there who hasn't seen Taco Cat, just go. You'll be a fan. And the thing that I liked... It wasn't labored, you know. It was all super breezy and easy and fun stuff. And the set was like 20 minutes long, 25 minutes long, and I liked that.
Yeah, that's hard.
Because I'd just been reading about the Ramones. Johnny Ramone did a book, and he said, well, the Beatles at Shea Stadium did 30 minutes. So he's like, we do 15. And that's what it reminded me, that spirit of, like,
yeah,
don't bore us. Get to the fucking chorus. Get the fuck off the stage.
That's our whole thing. It's always been. We've always played 20-minute sets. We do it intentionally.
Yeah.
We don't want to write a song
that
is longer than 3 minutes, mostly in the 1 to 2 minute range.
Smart.
Two and change. Okay. No longer than that. It's just not. I guess, like, my favorite songs are like that. Mm-hmm. My favorite sets are like that. I've gone to see bands like that I really loved. Like, and right. Like, yeah. Like, this is awesome. I'm seeing this band. And then 45 minutes in, I'm like, well, this is still pretty awesome. But,
I've seen huge professional bands that I kind of liked.
Yep.
And after that amount of time.
So, yeah, that was a choice we made early on. And that's how we do it. Except for when we played Bumper Shoot on Saturday.
Did you guys play a longer set?
We were required to play for an hour.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
You must have been exhausted.
Yep. That's the first and only time we've ever played for an hour. And it took a lot of practicing for us to be able to have that kind of a set. And it was...
Well, because your songs are short.
Yeah. Because we played like 25 songs, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. I was like...
It never is.
Here we go. Oh my God. Bumper Shoot and an hour and holy shit. And,
did you stretch out any songs?
No.
When you played Bumper Shoot?
No.
We just, exactly.
We talk a little bit between songs. We didn't even do that much of that. We just tried to get her done.
So you probably played almost every song that you've written.
We played Shame Spiral in its entirety.
Wow.
And we've never done that either. And then we played, you know, our newer stuff and a couple covers. And
you did the Friends cover?
No, we didn't. Some of us, we talked about it, like, should we do this? And, like, I was like, I'll do it. But it's kind of like, the Friends cover is really fun. And
there's pitfalls in playing the Friends cover, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It's kind of like, this is going to make or break this set. And we've had it do both. So.
Yeah, when I saw you guys at the Funny Button show.
Yeah, that was the first time we ever played it.
It went off.
Nice. Yeah, that was a make. We did it on tour recently. We were on a East Coast tour with this band from Philadelphia called Sledever. And we did it on that tour most nights. And there was a couple of breaks. There was a couple of crowds.
What songs did you cover?
That didn't...
At Bumbershoot.
At Bumbershoot, we did some of our older covers. We did Crash, the Primitives song.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And...
I'm not familiar.
I think you would know it if you heard it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
Okay.
That's like a lot of people know it from that
band, but I was like, I'm gonna think better.
No, that. Not that song.
Crash.
Maybe we should play it.
Is Crash on?
It's not on that list, but I have it.
Oh.
I could resurrect it, or not resurrect.
You
know, anyway.
We can also go online and play anything off YouTube.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We also did Hybrid Moments, the Misfits song.
Mm.
Yeah, which is two covers we've had for years, but Those were our like most solid at the time. Nice. Yeah. Nice. We practiced a lot of songs for membership that we didn't end up playing.
I'm really interested in the creative process of Taco Cat, and I understand if you don't want to give too much away. But is there a couple of you that get together to kind of flesh out a lot the meat of it, and then another couple of you do
say that is time? That is largely how it works. Usually Eric or Bree will come to me and be like, I'm working on a thing. I need drums. Yeah. Right. And so it usually starts with just two of us. One of these combos. Cool. Yeah.
It makes it cool. So not everybody has to be at practice every time.
Yeah, no. We do practices with just two or just three all the time. We did that for Bumber Shoot. Like, we wanted to, you know, not suck. So we practiced a lot, but we're all really busy. So we had a lot of practices with just me and Bree, or just me and Eric and Bree, just me and Eric and Emily. Mm. And, you know, when we just did what we could. And then we got together, obviously, all four of us as much as possible. But
does, so like when you and, let's say, Eric, the guitarist, get together, does he sometimes have a vocal melody in mind? Or is it more just like chords, and then Emily, singer, will come in and is that strictly up to her?
It's not necessarily strictly up to her. Understood. But usually she's the melody master. She's just so good at it. Like, she's the other great day, melodies. It's amazing.
Great melodies.
She has this incredible talent for it. I don't know where it comes from. I admire it so much. The other day, Eric is like, hey, like, we're just like in the neighborhood, and he's like, hey, I'm jamming on this new thing. I actually brought the crappy recording of this.
Oh yeah.
And Emily came down because we were going to practice for Bumber Shoot, and then he was like, hey, like, I just wrote this, Lulu and I were just jamming, it sounds pretty cool. And she just picked up a microphone and started singing. Like, she's like, oh, I got a couple of lyrics in my notebook, like, maybe we can. And it was just like, we wrote a song in like 2.5 minutes, and it just happened, and there it was. And I think it's really good.
Well, that's how good bands are, man. It's a magic.
It's just like there's a magic there that I cannot begin to, like, scientifically dissect. Like, it's just there.
I very much understand that.
Yeah.
That's why why you guys are doing well. so you signed to Hardlayer. Now, did you, like, with me, like, hearing about Taco Cat, I heard, like I said, I heard the name a bunch. Didn't really know. Then I saw Volcano and heard you guys signed to Hardly Art. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I was like, well, I got to check them out. So there got to be something going on. What was that transition like? I mean, you obviously have felt a difference, like, before and after Hardly Art, yes?
Yeah. Oh, like, definitely.
Huge.
Huge. Yeah.
You guys getting shows.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Cool, good shows. Evidently, yeah. People coming, going on tour. That's great. Tell me a little bit about that transition and how it affected you, what you've noticed.
Well, it made a very big difference. And it was like, like, just little things. Like, hey, like, somebody out there notified the internet that we're playing the show and it wasn't us. You know? Just like little things like
somebody
that.
Somebody put something on YouTube, yeah, or something.
Like, oh, somebody wrote about this, or somebody sent this to this person, and, like, just little tiny things. But, like, this, like, it's just like what a record label does, I guess. And we'd never really had that kind of support.
Yes.
And it was just like, wow. Like, we were all just like, this is so cool, you know?
And it,
like,
is cool.
What, I guess, like, we'd been in a band for a long time, and we didn't ever really want to be huge, you know. We all just did it because we loved to play music. Sure. Like, that was, sure, it was fun. It was, sure, fun. But you know, we've been through a lot. It's a lot of work and a lot of energy and a lot of.
I'm sure there was times where, like, we're done.
Oh yeah.
So, and now it's like a brand new beginning.
Yeah.
After we've been here 5 years, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah, 5 years. And so to have all of that kind of, like, culminate into something, like, something that a little bit like, oh, look, we worked really hard and now we have something.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah,
really nice. And that's what the Hardly Art has done. You know, like, before that, we still had something, but now it's, like, a little bit more official or real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get anybody, like, maybe, like, Ruben Mendez from Hardly Art. I'd love to get him in here.
Oh, yeah. Ruben's
I've never heard him speak, actually, but I'd like to have him come in and speak on the microphone.
Ruben's really funny.
So if you're out there,
he'd be great. Yeah.
You should, I don't know, come on in. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe you can hook that up, Leela.
No. I could talk to him.
We'll see.
We're buddies.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. We were buddies before we were business guys.
Right on.
I know. Yeah, since like 2004 when I first moved to Seattle. Reuben and Lacey were some of the first people I met.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the first time I noticed him and his band, he got on the bill with the Black Keys back in about 2004
mm-hmm.
at the Graceland.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, and I think his band is the Charming Snakes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is that his wife that plays with them?
Yeah, Lacey. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it was cool. So I'm going to play some more music here. I want to play some Taco Cat.
Okay.
We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Talk more about Taco Cat.
Okay.
And we're going to play, I think, is it the first? No, what do you want? Cat Fancy is on here, but then, screw it. We'll just play four or five songs. You'll tell us about it.
Okay. It's not in the exact order. That sounds cool. Cat Fancy is on the Hardly Art release that we did a couple months back.
It's a 4-song EP.
Yep.
Called Take Me to Your Dealer.
Yep.
And it's got a picture of a sexy woman's stomach, right?
It's Eric's stomach.
Oh. Really?
It's Eric's stomach that I drew on with a Sharpie.
I'm kidding. I know.
Oh, okay.
I think you told
oh,
me.
Okay. I wasn't. I mean, I thought maybe.
It's funny.
Maybe you're remembering it incorrectly.
Cool.
Okay.
We're going to. And I want to let everybody out there know that the iTunes system here at Hollow Earth, something's a little awry with it. It may skip around a little bit. If it does, I apologize. I don't mean to shit on your entire world. Is that what it is?
I'm shitting on your whole life.
On your whole life. Okay. That's a Nicki Minaj?
Yeah.
Phrase.
Well, that's a Nicki thing.
Okay. Here we go.
My girl.
I'm just going to play like 4 or 5 songs of Taco Cat. We'll see. It's great stuff. Enjoy. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Okay. That was what we just heard. It was basically Taco Cat's latest offering on the Hardly Art record label. And that was called Take Me to Your Dealer. Funny ass play on Take Me to Your Leader.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been done. But
has it? I had never heard it.
Take Me to Your Dealer. I feel like that's some kind of like 90s fodder.
Is it?
I feel like that was, yeah.
That's some, timely.
Some image.
Flannel's coming back.
Oh, did it ever leave?
Nirvana t-shirts are coming back.
I was wearing one yesterday.
I had an In Utero shirt that I got when I saw them.
That was, I was wearing an In Utero shirt.
Oh, with the angel?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
But I lost it. I think maybe some scumbag roommate of mine stole it. I'm not sure.
That's harsh.
I have a great couple rock shirts that I don't have anymore.
I do too. I have a couple. I think about them still. I mourn them.
Yeah.
I had a really sweet Joey Ramone shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really sweet one. I think about it all the time.
I had an REM one from a show I got when I was 14. From a show I went to. I was 14. I went to see them in the Green Tour. And when I bought it, it was down to my knees. But then I still had it like 5 years ago. And it was totally tattered in this badass REM shirt. But I don't know where the hell it is.
Yeah.
I mourn it.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
Yeah. You mourn shirts as well.
Oh, yeah. I had this one I lost on tour. It wasn't a rock shirt. It was... it was the famous Japanese painting, The Waves, you know?
What is it?
I think,
Little Waves, you said?
No, just Waves.
Oh, I've seen that.
You know, it's like a Japanese woodblock paint or something. I just had that on a t-shirt. I don't know why it was my favorite. I got it on like a free pile. It had weird paint stuck to it. It was huge and dumpy. And I left it at a hotel room in Virginia. And I called and tried to get them to send it to me. And they were like, no. I think about that shirt all the time.
Straight up.
No, they kind of said like you can have FedEx come pick it up, but there was like a language barrier, and it was
and the price tag.
And I was like, shit. I called it Favy Wavy. I lost Favy Wavy that day.
The shirt was called Favy Wavy.
No, that's what my name for it. Yeah,
I've never named a t-shirt.
Oh, I name a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of other things you like to do aside from Taco Cat, we were talking about the joy of going to a smallish town and singing karaoke. You also do that?
Well,
you've done that.
I have done that.
Yeah,
I have done that. I think I've done it a handful of times on tour, but what I remember most is doing it in my small hometown of Longview, Washington.
Oh, Longview. Yeah. What songs did you sing?
Actually, there was one time I can't for the life of me think of why on earth we were all there, but Taco Cat was all there mm-hmm. in Longview.
Wow.
And we did Sublime, Santeria, obviously. And there was a guy there in the bar that was like angry. He was like, "You guys stole my song," and then he showed us his Sublime tattoo.
Oh, he was gonna sing it.
Yeah, we were like, "Okay, Sublime tattoo." Like,
well, you figure if he's that big of a fan, he could have picked any number of other songs.
That's true. Well. Yeah, you know, we got to it first. Your loss.
I sing Kiss Strutter every once in a while.
Oh,
I think
wow,
it's an awesome cover.
Wow.
And one time it got stolen from me.
Oh, that's it's but tough when someone steals
like
your song.
Queen, I think, and
well, there, there it is.
It was fitting.
I also sang Eddie Rabbit, "I Love a Rainy Night," once in Longview.
Oh, wow.
And it brought the house down. Longview loves Eddie Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
Eddie Rabbit, man. He was a moment in time, I think, in the early 80s. I mean,
yeah.
It's a funny-ass name.
It's like weird, like pop folk country.
Right
or something
like Ronnie Millsap. Are you familiar with him at all?
Not that. No, not.
There's a song called "Stranger in My House."
Okay.
And yeah, he had this pop. Even like when he performed it live, he made it eerie, like a Michael Jackson Thriller video. But he was country pop, you know. Yeah, a lot of that shit was going on. It's a weird vein of music.
It was, yeah. And it was, it's like a little overproduced and like,
yeah.
It's got like 80s
really
drums,
bad keyboards.
Yeah. yeah, I did that in Longview. It was.
Love a Rainy Night, right?
I Love a Rainy Night, yeah.
So we just listened to, like, we'll get back to what we just played, and it didn't skip around. That's great.
That's good, yeah, the skipping problem.
The computer understands quality music when it hears it. Not that your early song wasn't, your other stuff.
Not that Carly Rae Jepsen's not quality.
Oh, Carly Rae Jepsen, yeah, you did Call Me, what is it? Call Me Something?
Call Me Maybe.
Oh, Call Me Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did a bunch of pop that you're currently on a super mainstream slick pop kick.
I certainly
and I dig
am.
That you're so honest with it.
I just gotta
town,
be me.
In this town, actually, that is the vanguard of cool at this point. But because pop's back, man.
Did it ever leave?
No.
No. But I mean,
but people
I
just learn to admit, and it's cool. And a couple really cool people admit that they're into it. Then everybody just floods in and like,
yeah. I mean, it's like candy for my. For my ears,
for your senses.
It really is. Yeah. You know, but we're very poppy. I mean, Taco Cat's a pop band.
You're poppy, but I think the difference there is that you folks are four people, and you're achieving this great sound. I think with just four people in an organic fashion, with bass, drums, guitar, you know,
right.
And that's great. And I'm sure you record it much quicker and much less, more inexpensive than a lot of that pop you're playing. Beyonce.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah.
A track of Beyonce's is going to cost.
Oh.
I don't know, one track, $50,000 to $100,000
probably.
At least. That's just
yeah.
A fee for the fucking producer or something.
Oh yeah, we don't.
Taco Cat, what's the average song cost? I don't need
it's
to know that.
Free 99.
It's quick and it's easy.
I'm Eric sorry. Does all our recordings.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he's got a degree in engineering,
oh,
in audio
shit.
Engineering.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Does he have a studio?
He has a mobile unit. He just has stuff and he sets it up, you know, wherever.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 I like the, between the little bit of slapback he puts on Emily's vocals and the melody, I'm getting a lot of like 50s pop out of that. Like to me, it sounds that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that an influence that permeates Taco Cat? At all?
50s pop?
Like, I don't know, girl groups and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, girl groups for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We
not
listen,
just
we listen to it together
girls,
on tour and stuff. Like we like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Cool.
That's
very cool.
That's definitely an influence for sure.
Yeah, we were Take Me to Your Dealer and four great songs. I like them all, but I think that Spring Breakup has this certain quality to the vocals or something. It's kind of like, it's heavy, like you were talking. That's one of your heaviest songs
in
Taco Cat, right?
We don't do heavy, really, but if we were, you know, to name a heavy, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the song that's comes closest to being about love or anything of any sort of substance or weight. Not substance, but we actually had a rule early on. It was like no love songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that comes closest to breaking that rule. It's, you know, it's all like based on true feelings and true stories. And
right.
Also, just the phenomenon that is everybody breaks up in the springtime.
Yeah. Oh, is that true?
It's true. There was one particular spring I made a list, and it was like 23 couples long.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
1 year?
1 year. That one particular spring, I knew like 23 people that broke up in the spring. And it's, you know, every year it's still up, like the numbers are high.
Wow. That's really interesting. We could go on about that, but I would actually like to get to the song F.U.
Sure.
Number 8.
Okay.
And it makes sense now. You told me it's like, fuck you, number 8, meaning the 8 bus.
The number 8 bus. The bane of our existence.
Tell me how the number 8 fucks you over.
I personally, I've been fucked by the 8. But, you know, who hasn't? But that was mostly from Emily's experience, because she wrote it every day to get to work and back.
Oh, right.
And every day it was a nightmare. And it was late. It was slow.
It was a zoo.
Yeah, it was riddled with, it was crammed. It was... disabled people getting on and off at every stop, you know, taking forever. Damn you and your disabilities.
Yeah.
I gotta get somewhere, you know. And it's just, you know, like I said earlier, it's the one of like 2 buses that goes up Denny, like, and that's like one of 2 streets that goes from downtown to the rest of the city. Like, the Seattle's just set up stupid, but I've, you know, Eric also rides it very frequently. He works down at the 5 Point. That's right there at the bottom of Denny. It's just the worst bus.
Yeah.
Followed closely, personally, my experience, by the 2.
Oh, the 2.
The 2. The 2 is also just a nightmare.
Where does the 2 run?
The 2 is, goes Queen Anne, like upper Queen Anne, all lower Queen Anne, downtown, mm-hmm. and then through up to the Central District up
okay.
here. The 2 runs up here, right, Union.
Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Writing a song about how much you hate a bus line makes sense, though.
Yeah, well, I have other people who hate. I got some really funny text messages from my friend one day. He was on the bus and he was just like venting to me, and he was like, "I want to kill you. I want to kill myself. I want to kill someone else. Fuck the bus. It may as well be a hearse. Nothing but fools and trolls." Or something.
I just got a text here. Get a little closer to Mike. I'm going to get a little closer to my mic. Thanks, Zach.
All right.
They can hear you evidently.
Okay. But, you know, transportation is I feel like it's number 4 under food, water, and shelter.
Yeah.
Basic human needs.
Deal.
Then transportation. And the transportation here in the city is a little lackluster, if you ask me.
Oh, traffic's insane. I drive a big ass van, just for stupid reasons. But, because that's all I have. And it was the tour van, but whatever.
Right.
Now I do lawn work and shit. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, like, I'll leave it at noon on a Saturday thinking, oh, this will be a breeze. I get on I-5 and it's a gridlock.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Since when did rush hour become
noon?
Weekends.
Just any day. Yeah. Any arbitrary hours. Yeah. I know. It's very bizarre. It's awful.
I ride the light rail, which is tight.
Okay.
I live 3 blocks from the light rail. And it's great. Believe me, when they put the rest of the light rail in, like the Capitol Hill and Northgate and Ballard and all that shit.
Yeah. I mean, Capitol Hill's tore up right now with that construction. So that's cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
The bus. Fuck the bus.
I can get to the from the airport to my place to downtown in a half hour and like no problem.
Yeah. I have no need for the light rail other than the airport. Mm-hmm. So I don't ride it that much. But I am excited for that. It's about damn time. Until then, like I said, I just went ahead and bought a car.
Sweet little car.
So I don't have to ride the bus.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, sweet little car. My dream car. Dream car. Yep.
It's a little Subaru.
Yep, it's a little Subi.
Mm-hmm. So let's play a little bit of music here.
Okay.
Some more talk. I'm really digging it now.
Sweet.
Tell me a little bit about this next song. It says Memo, so I'm guessing you recorded it. You told me, actually, I'm not guessing. You told me you recorded it on that little device.
This device, my pocket computer.
Yeah, it's a
handy dandy
I have one.
iPhone.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I have an iTouch, which is great. 'Cause I don't,
okay.
Whatever. It's similar.
Same interface.
Yeah. And I do the same thing when I need to put down an idea. But we're gonna hear a world premiere demo, Taco Cat. This is great.
We're pretty excited about this song. Like I said, I was telling you this earlier. We were just seriously like hanging out, jamming. This song came together in about 2 minutes, and it just was That
imagine if you spend 5 minutes on it.
What would happen?
It might be diminishing returns. Like, it may be the magic is like you did it so quick.
It's a little bit longer than it's probably going to end up being, and the quality is really crappy because it's just the iPhone in the room. But we like just did it that day, and we were all like, "Hey guys, that's a song. We love it.
That's great.
Yeah, we're excited about this new one. So
hell yeah, let's play it. So I'm just gonna play that one and then go right into three songs from the Woman's Day.
All
right. Right.
Yeah.
And we'll just play them all and then talk more about it.
Sure.
And get to your stuff that you love. You know.
Then there's the stuff that I love. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Here we go.
Cool.
Everybody, you're listening to The Shit Show with J-Bo and Lila Maupin from Taco Cat. Hope you're enjoying it. I sure am. Here we go. Okay. All right. Yeah, we're back on. Oh, that was great. I had actually never heard the... okay, so that was Taco Cat, three songs from the Woman's Day EP. And that was out on Minor Bird Records out of... tell me a little bit about the guy who runs that label.
It's out of Missoula, Montana. The guy who runs it is our friend Marty Martin Hill, who we also know from Longview, Washington, where Eric and I grew up. He was him and his dad, I think, co-coached Eric's baseball team. Like, he was like in middle school, I think. Wow. So they go way back, and
in Longview,
yeah. And Marty's always been a huge supporter of us, even in the earliest of days. And he's a really great, awesome guy. Just doing the best he can for the scene in Missoula. He's huge, like huge point person for any kind of music that goes on there. And he's just good does it because he loves it.
Yeah,
he's great. So he put out that 7-inch like a year or so ago.
So I like that 7-inch. That's an EP.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that you guys put out a couple EPs on 7-inch, because it's like bang for the buck, you know? Like, wow. Four songs. 7-inch record, usually it's two songs. It's cheap to buy. And then, you know, with the internet these days, I mean, you can always download codes and
right.
have it on iTunes, which you do.
Which we do.
It's great.
Yep. Download codes are where it's at. We kind of hate CDs. People ask us for them all the time. We have them, but we don't have them.
We probably just have the first record.
We just have Shame Spiral on compact disc.
Which was on Don't Stop Believin' Records.
Yes, local label here.
So you guys had three releases, three labels.
We actually had a cassette release on High Fives and Handshakes, which I think is now defunct, but that was another local label.
Can you still get your hands on that thing?
I have the tracks. Mm-hmm. I have the digital tracks. The actual cassette, I do not think so. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I think there was like 50 of them ever made. I don't have one. I don't know anyone who has one.
Okay, very cool. Very
cool. But yeah, those two 7-inches, I mentioned this earlier, those songs were ideally, like originally our idea was going to, that's our new album, but they got chunked off into two different 7-inches over time, which is cool. And now we're working on what will be our next full-length album release with Hardly Art.
Awesome. So it is coming out in Hardly
Art. Yeah. That's great.
That's
underway. Yeah, we're going to start recording really soon, actually, when texting about it, talking about it.
You start recording the new record?
Yeah.
Do you have it written?
Like that song that we just played,
yeah.
It would probably be on it.
Okay.
We have some stuff that we've had in the bag for a while.
Okay.
That hasn't really had a place to come out.
That's cool. So you're not like stressed out or it's no. very casual.
Yeah,
that's
it's cool. Very, I mean, we want to like... probably want to do four or five more new songs. Like, I think material-wise now we have about 10 or 11 songs, which is an album's worth of material in my book. I don't like albums that are much longer than that. Mm-hmm. But we want to do probably about 15 or 16 songs and then pick the best, you know?
Wow, that's awesome.
Like, not just put out, well, we got five, we got 10, here it is. Like, we want to make it the best we can.
Yeah, you want to be able to discard the ones that don't. You want to cream of the crop.
Cream of the croppers, yeah. So we got some work to do, but it's happening, yeah.
I heard a rumor that you had a party last night.
Oh. Accidentally. I accidentally had a party last night.
Fun times?
It was really fun, yeah.
I want to thank you for coming in. I know you're up late.
I was up much later than I anticipated being up. I worked yesterday. I kind of took it easy,
had a couple of beers with my friends, my friend Shannon, my roommate, just having a chill night. We were going to watch the season finale of Breaking Bad and go to bed. And then my roommates, who also played Bumbershoot yesterday, were riding.
That's the
pharmacy.
The pharmacy. Yeah. People. Okay, cool.
They were riding high on a party wave. It seemed like we heard them come home just like loud as fuck. Like outside still, just raging.
I heard Ty Segall was in the house.
And they brought Ty Segall with
him. I like
that
guy. He's good. He's good.
I met him last night. Mm-hmm. He came up and he partied in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Really nice guy. Mm-hmm. Really, he seemed to be having a good time. He's like, you know, what the fuck is that? We watched the some of our favorite videos. We watched some Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, and Azalea Banks videos. We showed those to Ty. His mind was blown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. ended up staying up. Yeah, way too freaking late. But it is cool. You know, it just happens. We were just going with the flow.
Like, honestly,
how
like
we
I
do.
Was, I don't know. You know, like I said, I was hoping for a story like that. Like you'd come in after 3 hours of sleep and
yeah,
after some impromptu party with some rock stars.
Impromptu, yeah. The day in the life, I guess. I never sleep. I seriously never ever sleep. Shannon talks to me about it. She's like, "How do you do this? You never sleep. I need to sleep. Get out of my life."
You know, in preparation for this, I kind of went scoured the internet for little tidbits about you and stuff, and uh-huh. and it seems to me that you said that you and your mother are actually really good sleepers.
Yeah,
that's
true.
At one point in time,
I did say that.
So when you get to sleep, you sleep well.
But I get that from my mom and my grandmother. Actually, will sleep till noon, and I will too. If I don't have anything to do, I will. Oh yeah.
Would you have slept to noon today?
If I had the opportunity, probably. Yeah.
If you didn't come in here.
If I didn't come in here, or have anything else to do, or if something wakes me up,
yeah,
like loudness or a person comes up into my room, mm-hmm. I'll just get up. But yeah, if there's no interruption, I will be asleep. I slept until 1 recently, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, I come from a long line of super sleepers.
I brought you some peaches today.
Yeah, you did.
Because I promised you fruit if you came on my show.
Yep.
And I got this from Chinese Organic, one of my jobs. And how were they?
The best peaches I've ever had in my life.
They were donut peaches.
They were donut peaches. Mm-hmm. Emily was eating donut peaches on this most recent tour. Mm-hmm. And Brie, I think, had never seen a donut peach.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Emily, put that down. What are you doing? Go get a good peach. Why are you getting this washed one? You picked out the bad peach."
Right.
And she's like, "Brie, these are donut peaches."
Because she only saw the one.
She's had it in her hand. But yeah, thank you so much for those peaches.
Oh, yeah.
Off the chain. Mm-hmm. I ate both of them in a timely and messy fashion.
If you want to come back in a month or two, I'll get you more fruit because I work for the people. Fruit.
People. I would love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love
and
that.
And bring your friends if you want. Bring your bandmates. That'd be.
I'd love to. Yeah, that peach was unreal. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I could eat a peach for hours.
Oh, that's from Face Off. Is that what you said?
I think that's Face Off. I'm pretty sure. That, yeah, Nick mm-hmm. Cage right there.
I saw Face Off in the theater. I really liked it. Of course, I was like 12 or so, 14. I don't know. I was young.
Right.
But you recently picked
up. I hadn't seen it until recently. Yeah. Both Face Off and The Rock, both featuring Nicolas Cage. But that was the Face Off quote, yeah.
Oh, The Rock, yeah.
The Rock.
Is that like Alcatraz or something?
Oh, it's Alcatraz. Yeah, okay. That's the Alcatraz.
Wow.
How in Zeus's butthole did you get out of your cell? Is that the quote? I don't remember.
How in Zeus's butthole?
There's like an epic quote from The Rock. And it's like, what in the? It's either how in Zeus's butthole or what in the name of Zeus's butthole. You gotta Google the Zeus's butthole quote. It's.
I love when those epic movie quotes.
Undeniable. Oh yeah.
I saw a movie, Roadhouse recently.
Oh.
Right around the corner.
You're watching Central Roadhouse
Cinema.
Recently?
I did.
You don't say. Oh, at the Central Cinema.
Yeah.
I love Roadhouse.
It was playing there, and I went.
Oh shit!
And there
yeah.
was a line in it that I didn't understand why I hadn't picked up on it. And it's at the end when like the big showdown between Patrick Swayze, as I like to call him, and the other dude.
Who cares?
Who ends up getting killed?
Yeah.
And the other dude says to Swayze, he's like, "I used to fuck guys like you in prison."
Yeah.
Which I just thought was like, why the fuck haven't I heard that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Classic. I should watch Roadhouse again. It's been a couple of years.
It wasn't bad.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Swayze's a little guy for kicking so much ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a huge P. Swayze fan.
Yeah. Sorry. It sucks that he died of cancer.
Yeah, that was terribly sad. That sucked. Was that also in conjunction with Farrah Fawcett? Was he that the one?
No, Farrah Fawcett died on the same day as Michael
Jackson. There it is.
That's what it was.
There it was. I know that there was two like wildly famous people who died like within hours of each other. Right. Poor Farrah.
So the Woman's Day EP that we just heard, did you how long did that take you to record? It sounded great.
Woman's Day, our recordings, we usually just bam, like,
it's live.
Hey, we're recording now. We do recordings for a couple of days. We do a couple of takes, make sure it sounds all right.
As a band.
As a band, yeah. We do it live. We do
the old fashioned way.
Yep. We don't ever, like, we'll go in and like, oh, like this needs a little bit of this, you know, but we do all three of us, all three instruments at the same time. You know, that takes a minute to get down. Like
people out there who don't play in bands, and there's a few of them probably on the East Coast, some friends of mine, like, and all that.
Yeah.
Relatives. It may seem like, oh, obviously you would record live or something, but a band has to have a really good sound. Like, they have to have their shit together. It's not an easy task. I mean, there's a ton of people who go in and they have to do a ton of overdubs. Right. And they end up ruining it. But that, like, Taka Cat, it's very simple.
Very simple.
But effective. Like, the way the guitars and vocals play against each other.
Wait, the vocals we don't do live.
Right.
Right.
Understood. Yeah,
yeah,
you can't
but,
do
yeah, yeah. But yeah,
but still, the composition is very strong in your songs.
Thank you.
Really strong. Yeah, it's
thank
awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. We're going to be recording again soon. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. Recording always takes like 8 times longer than you thought it was going to. And
at least
it's always really frustrating and long.
And you're recording it in the same fashion that you did all your others?
Yeah.
Eric's going to do it?
Eric's going to do it.
I gotta hit that guy up, man. I got some recording projects I'd love to pay him for.
He would love to be paid for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really good. Like, Eric
can tell.
Is like, he's got kind of meager means, but he can polish a turd. Like, he's really got the skills. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know how you got started drumming.
I got started.
What age, the circumstances?
It's kind of a cute story. I recently told it to Tom Tom Magazine.
Yeah, I was trying to find that interview.
It's on. You can find it. It's online.
Is it T-O-M-T-O-M, one word?
Yeah.
Or maybe
it's two words.
I Googled that. It didn't come up.
Huh. Oh, I think I can send it to you if you want. But when I was 15, I was friends with this girl in high school, Janae Carter.
And Longview.
Longview, yep. And we would always hang out at Janae's house because her parents were cool. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, that was like more fun to hang out at her house than anyone else's house. So we're always there. And her dad, Chris, was a drummer, big deal drummer guy in Longview.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't know how he knew who I was. No idea. One day he's like, Leela, is your dad this Steve Street? And I was like, yeah. Yeah.
In the street, this guy just asked you that?
Yeah, my friend's dad is like, was your dad this guy? My dad died in 1990.
Sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I didn't know him. I hadn't seen him since I was, I'd have like no recollection of this, so unscathed. And I was like, yeah, that was my dad. He's like, cool, I bought his drum kit when he died. Do you want to play it?
Wow.
And I was like, what?
Wow.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Actually, I think the drums that I played, he didn't have them anymore.
Did you play drums at the time?
No. No. Oh, no. I was like, whoa, crazy. Cool. Or whatever. And he's like, come out here and play the drums. And I was like, no. I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no way. I can't. I don't know how. I don't know. I can't. Yeah. And he's like, you can do it. And I sat on the drum kit and I was like really nervous and like, I can't. And he's like, shut up, do it.
Right.
And I did. It only took like a minute. And I was like, oh, you know, just like one and two and three and four and.
On the snare, kind of?
Snare and bass and snare and, you know, just like, you know.
You pretty much like immediately came up with a beat.
Yeah. Well, just like the basic, like kick, snare, hi-hat.
I find drums are one of those things that maybe the only instrument. Any percussion that you can kind of practice without having like air drums can actually help you.
Oh yeah.
At that point, had you done a ton of air
no.
drums?
No. Maybe. I mean, maybe. I was just like screwing around, but you know. And I was like so proud of myself. I was like, whoa, I can do this. Like I did it. And then my dad was a drummer.
Yeah.
My dad played in bands when I was before I was born and probably after I was born and up until he died.
A hell of a drummer, right?
My dad?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think he was a big deal. I don't know. Yeah. Apparently. That's all he ever did. He like has no other, I don't think he ever had a job. Like I couldn't tell you what my dad did for a living. He played the drums. and he was a good artist. My mom had some of his art, but anyway, after that, Chris gave me free drum lessons. He's like, I want to teach you for free. Cause he was a drummer and he gave drum lessons for money. Like, he did that for income on the side. And that's how I got started. But I didn't have a drum kit at home. I could only play when I was there at his house. That was it. And that's all I ever wanted to do.
That's great. Great story. I'm going to guess that you and Taco Cat did you learn to play together a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like,
you seem like one of those type of bands. Like,
yeah.
You're such a unit, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, I bought a drum kit when I was 19, my first drum kit. I brought it to Seattle when I moved here when I was 20. And I had it in my apartment, which my neighbors were not happy about, but I could play a little bit, you know. Bree had access to a practice space and we were just jamming. Like, we just wanted to hang out. Nice. Like, you guys want to hang out in this practice space and like jam? Like, you know, we're like 21, 22 years old, just getting drunk and having fun. And so we just basically like, hey, I know a couple of musicians. Bree could play a little bit. I could play a little bit. Eric was always like, he's, you know, got the chops. More than we ever did back then.
Was he a little bit like the mastermind at the beginning?
At the beginning, kind of, yeah. Like, he has, like, more skill and experience than we had at the time. And it was just fun. Like, we just, like, wanted, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You two started the same way.
No, shut up.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, learn to play. Bono was originally the drummer.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't
know that. And then he was the only one that wanted to sing, I guess. So, I think he went to, I think that's how it goes.
Wow.
I appreciate you too on certain levels. I've never been a huge fan. I've always been a big REM fan. We talked about that show.
I like REM. I think U2 is lame. But
I snuck into U2.
Eric's been sneaking into U2. Oh, no, not the show?
The show.
I thought you meant sneaking it in, like, say, I snuck into it as like a fan.
No. I snuck into the big stadium show.
Shut up.
Long story.
Wow.
If you really cared, you could go on my Facebook and scroll down about 8 months ago and check it out. But
all right.
Anyway.
Wait, this is a recent affair?
The last time they came into town.
Oh, wow.
No, it was like a year ago, I guess.
When you said that, I was thinking, like, I was, like, picturing you, like, as, like, a 16-year-old. Like,
No. It was last year.
No, this is last year. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Wow.
I loved it. That's one of my things. I sneak into shows all the time.
Wow.
I snuck into Jack White 2 weeks ago, except I had a ticket, so it was all good. But I'm such a fanboy of Jack White. I had a little 7-inch White Stripes, and I wanted him to sign it, so I hung out outside the tour buses.
Wow.
But his band showed up. He never did. And it was really funny, because they were just like, I said, hey, can you get Jack to sign this for me? And one guy's like, you kidding me? He won't even let us look him in the eye. That's what the guy said.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Jack White's like the David Letterman of rock. You know?
Wow.
You can't look him in the eye.
Wow. We're big White Stripes fans, too, most notably Bree.
I think the White Stripes are such a special outfit.
Yeah, definitely.
And I've heard people say to me, and I think the guy who said it, Zach, is listening. He's like, if only they had like a better drummer and a bass player. I'm like, well, it wouldn't be the White Stripes.
No,
then.
Yeah, no. The charm is what it is.
Right.
When we were in Detroit, the first and only time we've ever been to Detroit, amazing.
Did you go to the Magic Stick?
We didn't do anything touristy, really. But
well, no, that's like a club where the White Stripes would have played.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, we played in a basement.
Which is touristy, I guess.
Yeah. But we played with this band we loved. We fell in love with. And I actually have them on some tracks to play. Yeah.
Cool.
And we were talking to the girls in the band and how they became friends or whatever. Well, there's only one girl in the band. Anyway, we're talking to some people in Detroit. And they told us, like, they became friends and, like, basically started playing music because they met on a White Stripes message board.
Oh, really?
They were, like, huge fangirls and, like, just nerding out talking about White Stripes on a message board. Like, back in the day when that's what you did, you know?
Before they were, so huge, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really endearing. Like, the White Stripes brought them together. But they're from Detroit, you know, they're a big deal there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The first time I heard about the White Stripes, I saw it was an English 7-inch, and it's like, it was some band covering the White Stripes. And I had, like, barely heard of the White Stripes. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this English band is covering White Stripes songs? Like, that band isn't big. Like, how the fuck did that work, you know? And then I saw they were coming to the Crocodile, and I missed that show.
Oh.
But the next time around, just kind of like on a whim, I think I'd heard one song, The Union Forever. I went down to Olympia and saw them at the Capitol Theater. And from the time they walked out on stage, like, a huge American flag raised behind them, you know? And they went into Dead Leaves and Dirty Ground. And I was just sold. Like, I left early. Yeah. I didn't even watch the whole show. I'd seen enough and went out and just collected every 7-inch and loved them. Whatever. It was,
yeah. Great. No. You know, when they did Elephant, I think.
Elephant, yeah.
I liked that stuff, but the earlier stuff was always...
The first three records.
Oh, my God.
Lo-fi and really fucking cool.
I liked Elephant, too. What was I going to say? Oh, Jack White still lives in Detroit, right?
Lives in Nashville, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. I heard that he was, like, Detroit or die. But,
No, he's been in Nashville. He has Third Man Records. He has a studio. It's like Third Man Records, and he produces a ton of shit. He's done, like, close to 200 7-inch records in the last 2 years.
Wow.
Various bands. And that's where he gathered his band to play on his latest solo record.
Okay. He wouldn't even let us look him in the eye. That's funny.
I don't know that that's true.
That's what the guy said. That's, yeah. Like about a year ago, I went to the Showbox and saw Hanson.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They put on a good show. Interesting crowd. But the Hanson brothers stood outside the Showbox, outside their tour bus, and meet and greet Ed and signed every single thing, every single fan, every single... Great. For hours. I watched them. I mean, I don't know if it was hours,
but... Taco Cat would be that type of band.
We
you guys are pretty friendly.
Yeah, we do that. But there was... This was kind of actually adorable. After our Bumber Shoot show, there was this girl came back in our tent, like the green room that they had behind the stage, and she was wearing our first T-shirt we ever printed. And I kind of recognized her. Wow. She's a young girl. And I was like, where did you get that? Wait, what's your name? And her name was Wyatt. And she was there in the beginning. Like, her dad would bring her to Taco Cat shows, like, our first freaking show, our second show. Huge fan. As a young, she was probably, like, 10. She looked like, she's a teenager now. And I was like, holy shit, it's you.
Wow.
I remember you, you know, she was wearing the shirt. She was there at Bumber Shoot, and we, like, signed her shirt. And she was, you know, it was just like, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
You know? Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool.
She, I wonder how old she was when her dad would take her to the show.
I mean, she was really young. I swear she was 10, 9, you know, like.
She was 10 now?
No, now she looked like she was about 15 or something, you know, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
She was, yeah, it was cool. She had that shirt and she was still a fan. Like, wow. She was there, wow. You know, it was pretty special.
That's very special.
Yeah.
Yeah, bummer. I would have liked to have seen that. I saw you guys offered some guest lists on, Facebook.
Right? They kept asking us, like, who's on your list? And we're like, no one.
Yeah.
We don't, like, I guess
we don't know anybody who can afford your ridiculous prices.
Right? Well, no.
$40.
Guest list means they get in for free.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh. But, yeah, we're like, it's like, oh, it's noon on Saturday.
So, basically, so nobody's around.
Yeah. I don't
know. Guys are like, if you're in, that's what disqualified me. Well, I was doing something, really, but.
Right.
You're like, if you're in line right now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we had this idea. We're like, who wants to come? Okay, you got. Couple minutes, get here. Like,
if you're on the,
we filled it up.
Cool.
Yeah. Hell that good. That worked out. That was Eric's idea. It was genius. Awesome. Yeah.
That was great.
That morning was crazy.
You think that was Jesus?
Genius.
Okay. Because I heard him referred to as Ginger Jesus recently on somewhere.
Ginger Jesus. Eric's not a ginger.
He's not.
No.
Okay.
He's got dark hair, dark.
He's well.
Dark eyes, light skin.
You know what? I think I said, handsome. Oh, he looks like Jesus, and I assume they're talking.
No, about no. He kind of looks like Jesus.
But then,
like,
they were like Ginger Jesus.
I don't know where ginger came from.
Well, people call me a ginger as well, and maybe we have a similar colored hair, but I'm not really.
You're not really a ginger, no.
So I think people get it wrong.
Yeah, no, they do.
I've seen real redheads, and yeah, I'm not.
Oh, one. Yeah. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. There's a like couple of Facebook profile photos back on Eric's profile, where there's a picture of him next to a portrait of Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a great time. We're having a great time talking. Thank you.
Shit
show with J-Bo. And I'm in to staying as long as you are. We'll get through this list if you want.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to play all that if you don't want to, but, you know, whatever.
Well, let's play some of it now.
Okay.
And then we'll play 4 or 5 songs.
Sure.
Talk some more. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So she just brought some stuff in. I'm going to start with Crass, if that's cool.
Oh, yeah. That song, actually, we listen to that song on every tour. We put it on all the time. It's kind of like our anthem, Taco Cat anthem.
Awesome.
Yep.
And we'll just play after that some Quintron, Monster Women, Cub,
Beach yeah. Boys. These are kind of like quintessential Taco Cat songs that we all love. Some of my favorite songs, some of our friends' bands that we play with on tour.
Love it.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, here we go.
Cool.
Hey. Hello, Radio Land. Internet Radio Land, Hollow Earth Land. Anybody who is nice enough to be listening right now. You're listening to The Shit Show with J-Bo and Lila Maupin from Taco Cat.
Hello.
We were just talking about what it's like to be in a band and be dedicated to music and have to work jobs that aren't necessarily career-oriented, having to sacrifice a fair amount in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like service industry jobs. Mm-hmm. Serving. You have to have something that's flexible,
mm-hmm.
that maybe pays in tips,
mm-hmm.
and that's not too serious. Yeah,
that's not too serious. That you can leave behind for months at a time. Be like, right. Peace.
Right.
I'll be back. Take me back. Yeah, we all four of us make huge compromises and sacrifices to be
in lifestyle
and in your lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah. To be able to tour like we do and dedicate, a big chunk of our lives to the band.
But Jesus Christ, you know, being, quasi famous, celebrated and in your hometown and being able to tour is a lifestyle in and of itself. And mm-hmm. if you had those jobs, that you'd be sacrificing that life.
That life,
you know,
yeah.
Which one do you want? You know.
Well, yeah. Obviously,
at this point in your
life. At this point in our life, as we've come up, making music and putting effort into it, and really loving what we do as young people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the choice we made. Like,
absolutely.
This we want to shoot for the stars, live the dream, whatever.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So we have a shot at it, and we're definitely that's the priority. I guess, you know, down the line at some point when whatever happens,
yeah,
you know, that's the time when we can.
If it starts to arc in a different
right.
way, you know.
But for right now, we have to make the sacrifices and we have to make the compromises.
And as I said off the air, I think it's worth it.
It's totally, yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard.
And I think it's
there
worth
are
it.
Times when I'm just like, fuck this.
But, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Personality stuff, practice stuff, touring stuff, all that stuff.
All that stuff. I mean, everybody in Taco Cat is my best friend. We don't really get a, like, fight personality-wise, but it's hard. I don't like the service industry. I like Lil Woody's. I love my coworkers. It's a fun place, but, like, I don't like dealing with people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have skills. I got right. things. Yeah, I got right. things I'd rather be doing, but I can't pursue that because I have made a commitment to this project, and these people are so important to me. They're my family.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just played Bummer Shoes.
Yeah, we just played Bummer Shoes. Awesome. I mean, things are paying off, and you know, and I love the lifestyle. Like, I
living the life,
living the dream.
You get that on your.
I get to get into a vehicle. Yeah, right. I want it. Yeah, this must be the place. It was a tattoo idea we had once. Yeah, I get to get into a vehicle and drive around the country with my best friends and experience crazy
new
stuff. New cities,
and play music, your own
new,
music.
New cultures, great. New people, new friends. Play my own music, get paid, put that money in the gas tank. It's like self-sufficient. Like,
and being on Hardly Art, I'm guessing that a fair amount of people know that you're coming to their town.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. I mean,
people who have good taste anyway.
The right? tours that we've done after Hardly Art, as opposed to the tours before. I mean, we always had fairly successful like DIY stuff, but sure. they really have like bolstered our reach and like our, how. Successful the shows are on the road. It's like, you don't know what you're going to get. You never know. And that's what I love. Yeah, it's always an adventure.
Do you guys ever play a situation where it's not with three or four bands and you have to fill out a whole night? You get all the money and a Friday night in some small town. Has that ever happened to you?
No, we've never played just us. No.
We're building it back up, but I've done some touring like that. And like you were saying, your Bummer Shoot show was an hour, and that was really hard to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to do like 3 45-minute sets, and our songs are longer, though, much longer. And it actually was not as hard as you were thinking it is.
Right. Bummer Shoot, we were like, holy shit, all right, we better step up to the plate. We like put a lot of effort into practicing for it. And when it came time to do it, it was over like that. Like, it was not nearly as difficult as I thought it was going to be.
I love that picture you took from the drums with the space needle.
Thank you.
All that shit.
Yeah, that.
It's really cool.
Hands down, my most liked photo on my social media.
It's great.
Outlets.
I really like the one of Emily Noakes where she, like, got the jumbotron behind her.
There's some really amazing
That's
shots
a glamour
of
shot.
Oh yeah, there's some amazing like shots of the jumbotron. Like, we had that bubble machine going. It was like,
oh, that's what it was.
It was like a magical moment. It's funny, when we were setting up on that stage, I was like, setting up the drums on this crazy huge stage, and what is this screen? And I was like, cool, there's a screen behind us. You know, that's happened before. Oh, you're gonna play an old movie while we play? Yeah. Rad. I wonder what they're gonna play.
No.
Oh no, just my face, larger than life.
Great.
It was unreal. It was a surreal moment for sure. Yeah.
And you played it was at the Sub Pop stage.
Yeah. Okay. On the Fountain Lawn, the Sub Pop stage.
That's different than the mural, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we didn't play the mural stage, no.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was unreal. That was
looked like it.
The next day we were in the printed version of the Seattle Times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heard about and Mike McGinn was scoping you guys, right? The mayor?
Apparently. Okay, I wasn't there when that happened. And I saw the tweet is how I found out.
Right.
I was like, what is happening?
Right.
What, really? What?
Yeah.
But, you know, that kind of blew my mind. I was like, well.
He said you guys reminded him of old school punk.
Old school Blondie, I think.
Blondie.
Yeah, which is a huge compliment. I've always been.
To be fair, I think he's seeing the color of your hair and maybe.
Right.
But I don't know early Blondie.
I mean, I'm pretty.
I've kind of heard that in your music, though, that kind of anthemic quality.
Yeah.
Actually, aside from
color. Early Blondie is like, you know, punk.
Is it?
Just punk, yeah. I mean, you know everyone's familiar with, like, you know, when Disco Blondie, Heart of Glass, you know. But yeah, the early stuff, like Parallel Lines, the new album.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's solid.
Straight.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah, it's good. And I've been a huge Blondie fan my whole life. I think Deborah Harry is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to see them at Bumbershoot, I don't know, four or five. 5 years ago, maybe. It was pretty cool.
They're playing with Devo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really soon. In Woodinville.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I forget the venue, but.
I saw Devo at the fair, the Puyallup Fair. It was fun.
I heard that. I had friends that were there. It was good. Sorry, I'm eating beef jerky.
You said something about Taco Cat being into astrology and signs.
Yeah.
And the records. How did that work?
We dabble. Our first album. We included 4 tarot cards as like extra merch or whatever. Each one of us was on the card. And it was set aside A, side B. It was side Gemini and side Libra.
Okay.
As everybody in the band is a Libra except for me.
Oh.
I'm the Gemini.
Wow.
And according to the stars, Geminis and Libras are perfect matches for friends or lovers.
Really?
And we are all best friends. And
lovers.
Yep. And I would also like to note that John Lennon was a Libra and Paul McCartney was a Gemini.
Yeah, they were the perfect match. Dude.
Perfect match. Yeah.
Friends and lovers.
Yeah.
They love musically, I think.
I mean, they were a good songwriting team.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on
that. Yeah, me either. I mean, I could talk about the Beatles till I die. So.
Okay, so let's do another set of the music that you brought. It's great.
Thank you.
And I got a text from my buddy, Chris Altenberg, who's, I guess he jammed with you once.
You mentioned that at the beginning of our time this morning, and I said, oh.
Totally. He's down. He said his son was dancing to some of the cuts.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, I pretty much just like picked out like, hey, these are my favorite songs of all time. And also some stuff that pertains to Taco Cat, as in songs that we all love, or songs we listen to on tour, bands we play with on tour. So
awesome. Yeah. And is it cool if we go a little bit long today?
It's cool with me if it's cool with you.
Oh, it's fine. There's nobody after us. And I'm having a really good time. I'm assuming people listening would be too.
I hope so.
I'm just going to play another set, then we'll talk.
All right.
Again, and then we'll go out with a last set.
All right, cool.
This next song, is it Why Do You Call Me?
Oh, yeah. That's actually our label mate, Colleen Green. She's also on Harley Art. As our favorite song by her. We play a couple shows together. She's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Cool.
Just some hand-picked gems from Lila Maupin of Taco Cat. Here we go.
Here we go.
Well, that sounds really good. That was the Deadbeat Beat. Now, you met that awesome band in Detroit, and it was serendipitous, you said, on an old Taco Cat tour. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I believe it to be serendipity because we'd never been to Detroit. We didn't know these kids at all. They contacted us. They wanted to play with us, and we fell in love with them as friends and their band. We loved their band. We listened to it
great.
Every day after that. Yeah, and I think Alex is the guy, the lead singer of that band, and he like loved Taco Cat. He was playing it for all of his friends. He was telling us how he drives around town and never takes it out of his car. And he was trying to like spread the Taco Cat scene or whatever in Detroit. Awesome. He's awesome. Yeah. And we just showed up like, oh, okay, we'll play your basement, you know? And it just was wonderful. And they're so good. All their songs are good. If you guys want to check out Deadbeat Beat, please.
Were you touring on the
Google that
Shame Spiral thing or the
I think that tour we had to have had Women's Day by then.
That was one of your DIY tours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pre-Hardly Art.
Okay.
Yeah. It was radical.
That was a great set we just listened to.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to keep some of this music for myself. I'll get it or something. Off the iTunes playlist.
Anything you want. Yep.
Awesome. I want to hear the phenomenon of people going to you going to small towns the couple times it's happened back in the day. Now I think more people probably know about Taco Cat, but how amazing that was for you to go to a place you'd never been to and people be into it. What did that feel like?
That is unreal. Like Detroit, that happened. Yeah. We'd never been there, and we had people that were wild about it. They knew all the words to our songs. They were shouting songs that we hadn't played in years, and like we'd never been there. We're like, who are you people? That happened to us also in Philadelphia. The first couple of times we went to Philly.
Two kind of like were regarded as poor kind of bohemian artsy towns, right? I mean,
that's where
the real taste is. Yeah.
The first time in Philadelphia was probably the wildest because these kids went all out.
They went ape shit for Taco Cat.
They wore costumes based on our songs. There was like a girl in a leotard and other crazy stuff. And they like brought peeps. Because one of our first songs on Shane Sparrow's Peeps, they brought the candy to our set and like was like throwing it around.
Really?
Oh yeah, they made a Taco Cat cake.
How does that feel?
That's shaped amazing. Like a taco with cat and legs, like really? Cat head and like yes. Yes.
that's amazing.
I know.
That's
so great. We're just like, hey Philadelphia, we've never been here before. There's a Taco Cat cake.
Now when was this happening?
That was years ago. That was probably like 2008.
When you guys were just getting started.
Yeah.
At some point, did it dawn on you? I mean, that doesn't seem like average behavior for a DIY touring band. Did it dawn on you like we're onto something? It must have because you've been with it for a while.
You know, those just happen in spurts, and then we'll play a show to the other band. Yeah. You know, we played a show to like four people in Riverside once, like Riverside. You know, like so you know, you do get a little bit like, hey, wow, like maybe this is really cool what we're doing. And sometimes
I think
like,
it is.
Yeah, I mean, back then we had no idea. I don't know.
Like, I kind of became a fan of Taco Cat just seeing you the one time at the Funny Button. I liked Volcano, but it was more like it just built in my mind. Like, yeah, this is one of the bands I want to check out. You know, it kind of rarely happens, but you know.
Yeah.
And I checked it out in the first show. I was like, wow, that was great.
I think that something we have going for us, other than like whatever the songs sound like, is just being ourselves. We really are like super best friends. I feel like everybody in my band is the coolest, most awesome, smartest, funniest people that I know. Ever. And then when we all get together, I think we just really vibe on stage or whatever. It's like,
it's really fun. And I'll say your exuberance when you're playing drums is great. I think I once thought of you as the, like minus the heroin addiction and getting kicked out, Steven Adler of Taco Cat. I mean, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, right.
The dude's just like, if you watch his old videos of him, that he was just smiling the whole time is great.
I can't not smile. I don't know where that comes from. It might be derivative of I learned to perform in front of a crowd as a high school cheerleader.
You can't not smile.
No.
Some people can't smile.
I know people.
It's the cheerleading thing. That's what it is.
I think it might have been. I have these deeply, deep carved grooves in my muscle memory in my body and probably in my face. from that. Like, if I ever, like, I'm at a party or a dance party and I'm, like, dancing, I just look like a cheerleader dancing. Like, I can't not do it.
It's arms just in there. The air.
Arms in the, yep.
Yeah.
And my face is just gonna smile. I sometimes feel like a cheese ball, but I feel like if you're gonna be performing, you should be. I mean, that was what I was
taught.
That's
refreshing for refreshing. Seattle.
Like, it was, you know, cheerleading coach, smile. You cannot be out there not smiling. Like,
so when you're performing, it just comes on. That's great.
It just comes out. And, you know, everybody has their music face. Like, drummer face is probably the most quintessential one. But, like, Eric makes crazy guitar faces.
Yeah.
He almost like he's talking, like his mouth is always moving when he's playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, happens. So, like, it's just what your face is going to do. And apparently mine will be smiling.
That's great.
I like it. People talk to me about it all the time.
Yeah.
There was a while.
Check out old Guns N' Roses. Really.
I'm going to have to look that
Guns
up.
Guns N' Roses, 1988 at the Ritz. Amazingly powerful show.
I will definitely
Adler's,
check that out.
They call him Stephen Popcorn Adler. He's just like, he's smiling his ass off. It's great.
I think I didn't maybe used to. I wasn't always like the most comfortable behind the drums. I used to wear sunglasses a lot. And as I became more comfortable, I think it was smiling. And some people would talk to me about my you make funny drummer faces or this face. But there was a while there, and I try to be conscious of this now, where it was like, Lila, stop making sex faces at the crowd. And I was like, huh? They're like, seriously, stop doing that. And I'm like, I didn't even know I was doing it.
Like some ooh la la shit?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. So I tried to not get sexy. There was a while there, I guess that was my
Do you try not to make eye contact?
No, I don't. I make eye contact.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was at a show of yours 3 weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know how. I lost track of time, but
yeah.
It's at the... that place, Pizza Fest.
Mm. Fun House.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Oh, yeah. The Fun House is amazing.
I was right down front, and I remember at one point, I just broke into like spontaneous clapping like a fucking hippie or something. and I realized at that point, like, people were looking at me because it was kind of... I remember, like, I think the guy that runs Hardly Hardware, he's like staring kind of. It was funny.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one that puts on Pizza Fest.
Yeah.
It's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Spontaneous combustion.
Yeah.
Inspired by Taco Cat.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I took the 8 home.
Yeah, I was
pissed
yeah.
off about it.
Yeah,
number 8.
And then you wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been awesome today. What I want to hear from you now is what the future, what you hope it holds, and what's happening in the immediate, like, 6 months to a year in Taco Cat. Shows you want to promote, your LP. Talk about all that stuff. And
yeah.
And then we'll play your last like 4 or 5 songs and we'll be out of here. So.
All right. Well, see, right now what's on the docket, emergency docket, is recording. We really want to get recording underway for the new album. Hopefully it'll be done before next spring.
Yeah.
For spring release, go down to South By.
So
again.
In the next 6 months, you'll be absolutely finished. Mixing,
yeah.
Mastering.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time to like pedal to the metal, nose to the grindstone, keep your head down, power through, whatever. Get that done.
Yes.
That needs to be done. That is our number one
Do you have
goal.
Any idea for a title for it? Does that ever
Oh, come, well, come? We toss around titles all day, every day.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, we were just talking about this yesterday. I got a text. We text each other all day long, like group text. Like the Taco Cat group text is popping off literally all
the group
damn
text, yeah.
day. Like yeah. they've, I've gotten probably, well, let's look. See this? Oh, well, that's not that many.
The group
but
text. It's
the
just,
group
it's
text.
Just on and on and on.
On and on. Like, I've probably gotten 30 texts since I've been here from Taco Cats. But yeah, yesterday, Brie was like, oh, let's call our album Gluten-Free Salted Caramel.
Nice.
Or we always thought, like weird food trends. Like, oh, yes, acai berry, pomegranate. you know, I don't like
right.
Bullshit.
Right.
We, a lot, years
well,
ago.
You got to throw that. Slightly absurd stuff to the wall because eventually something will stick.
Yeah. We've always talked about calling any album 1994.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty timely.
It's our favorite year in history and in music. It's yeah. a really epic time.
Is that your Cobain died?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was like the last year that shit was real.
Right.
You know?
Right. I love In Utero by Nirvana.
Me too.
It's my favorite record by them.
I'm not sure what my favorite is, but you know, maybe. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. It, yeah. You know, I mean, Nevermind is, you know, it's Nevermind, but, you know, In Utero, it's got a lot
Nevermind's good. I can't listen to it.
I don't. I can. I did the other day.
I mean, I could.
I know.
I just, when it comes on, I don't know. I really like the solo in, what's that?
Smells Like Teen Spirit?
No.
Oh.
Second or third.
That's a joke.
Song on it. In Bloom. I love the solo in In Bloom. It's brilliant.
It's so, I mean, it's so good. You know, I don't care for Heart Shaped Box.
Oh, I love that song. Love it. Okay, so 94. I really like that title.
It's just something that's been like an idea we've tossed around for a long time. Who knows what we're gonna take? You know how Take Me to Your Dealer happened? That was an accident.
Oh really?
I mean, we love it. And it's like hilarious.
That's a great title, by the way.
It was like a tentative title, like, oh, what if we called it this? And Eric just happened to name it that on his computer because he recorded the files. Like he's named it that, like, oh,
yeah,
you know. And we were talking about calling it that. Like we were tossing things around, but it wasn't like for sure yet. And then we sent it to Hardly Art. We sent it to Ruben with that as the file name. And he's like, oh, great album, great title. Guys, love it. Done deal. Like, put it on the website.
And
they're like,
it.
Oh, actually, we, oh, cool.
That's great.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a happy accident.
I
love it. Yeah.
I was immediately into the inside joke. Thank
you. Yeah, yeah.
It has.
I mean, it's like stupid. But like,
it's
that's why we
about
love
smoking
it.
Weed, right?
Oh yeah, out the volcano.
Out of volcano, like a vaporizer.
Like a vaporizer. Yeah. Well, Eric finally got one.
Okay.
For back when we wrote the song, and for years it was just this like dream of ours. And then we own a volcano.
Oh, how big is it?
It's like the size of, you know, like a popcorn bowl.
Okay.
It's not huge. It's pretty cool though. I mean, yeah. Dude, to be honest, we don't even use it that much, but
smoke free.
It's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So next step. Oh yeah. Tours. Definitely gonna do a tour.
Where are you touring?
Probably gonna try to get a U.S. tour underway in the spring. I don't think we're gonna do much before then in the tour arena because we got to be recording. We don't have a van right now. Our van was destroyed on our last tour by a Firestone. Don't go to Firestone, everybody. So we are saving money.
Saving those big bumper shoot bucks. I bet you're making a little bit of skrill.
The bumper shoot show and the
tractor.
The tractor actually was pretty lucrative, also, and the one where we got backpacks with the fruit bats.
Right. Well, yeah. Anybody, if you're gonna get supplied with
yeah
backpacks, you're gonna get a little skrill.
Yeah,
and a
that's
rider
definitely
with expensive fucking
yeah,
tequila.
That's definitely we're making more off shows than we ever have. But that's all going towards our new sweet ride. We don't, you know,
you
have
a new
one.
Ride?
Yeah, we need a van. We don't even have a van.
Wow.
We bought. Okay, so when our van was destroyed in Durango, Colorado,
yeah, tell me
we
about that.
Bought. Oh my god. Oh, that was a nightmare. It's like snowing, and we're driving into a mountain in the blizzard, and it's like, oh hey, your van isn't working. Oh, there's no oil in it. We turned around and coasted down the mountain back into the small town of Durango, Colorado.
Oh,
and tried to have a mechanic fix it. And they were like, nope, this shit's toast.
The engine's done.
Yeah.
At that point.
The engine's done. So
fuel rod or something? Or?
No. For whatever reason, we got our oil changed the day before at a Firestone. And the next day had no oil.
It was a leak. Maybe a leak?
I mean, it was obviously their fault. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
We didn't have time to really investigate the problem. We were like, what the fuck are we going to do? We're in Durango, Colorado.
How'd you get out of there? You renovate?
No. We pulled together all the money we had in the band fund and some other. We bought like the only van for sale on Craigslist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a 1993 Aerostar and it got us home, but it's not like a tour worthy van.
Have you seen the van I drive?
No.
It's 15 seater.
Holy
it's
shit.
It's a bus.
Holy shit.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. If you guys ever are hard up.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We still have the Aerostar, but we're looking to sell it. We don't need it. Oh, we need the money. Oh, we don't need the van. Cause it's not gonna get us where we need to go. But it got us home miraculously. And
that's it. It just got you home.
We've taken it to Portland and like a couple places, but
I think I saw that van outside the Funny Button.
The white van.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We drive it if we have to, but we don't want to invest in it. But when we left Durango in that van, it was really sad. You know, we left our van behind, and that was like our home. You know, like we cried.
Did you name it?
We cried a little bit. Honda Odyssey. It was a Honda Odyssey. It was our Honda Odyssey.
Like Jodeci or no? What is it?
Just a Honda Odyssey.
Okay.
And I remember like Eric's like, it was hard times. Like it was really emotional. Like he's like, well, you just put on some like positive music,
Really? Like, yeah. Really?
I made like a posse playlist to like get to us get through that van. Drive. Yeah. To get back on the mountain, back in the blizzard, in a van that we don't know is going to break down in the next 20 miles anyway. Like, yeah. We're just like, okay, here we go. Like,
wow. You got to do what you got to do.
I put on On the Road Again by Willie Nelson, and we all cried.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a moment. Wow. And it was like, great we were story. Like white knuckling, like through this blizzard. Like, we have no idea what we're riding in. You know, like we have no idea. Mm-hmm. It was kind of terrifying.
Your chains or no?
Probably no. Not. Yeah. Blizzard. We almost hit an elk. A coyote or no a wolf chased an elk onto the mountain highway and we came like face to face with it. I saw like the terror in its eyes,
in the elk's eyes.
Yeah. And it took a dive. It was like on its elk knees and it got up somehow and like jumped over the barrier.
Did the wolf
attack
it?
I think we saved it from the wolf attack.
Wow.
Because the wolf scrammed the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
Perfect.
yeah that was
well
insane.
Just think about it. I mean, if you had, I know it's tragic losing your van, but if you had never gotten that van, you wouldn't have. There'd been a dead elk.
That's true.
Not on your hands, but you know.
But yeah, no, I'm glad I saved that elk. It was huge. It had huge horns. I've never seen an animal like that. I was like, it looked like a moose.
Yeah.
And we've never really come face to face like with wildlife. You know, you hear about that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
We've had pretty good like road luck. Like we don't get
elks
an accident.
Are huge.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh.
One time I was you know, back in the day I did LSD a couple times and I was in the rainforest of Washington, and me and my buddies were in the car and a herd of elk crossed through the forest in front of our path. Like, I don't know, 50 to 100 elk. I mean, a lot of elk. And I remember just calling them rain camels because they had a hump on their back and I had no idea what they were, and they were in the rainforest. They're impressive beasts.
They really are. We narrowly escaped that. And that was like right after we got on the road in our new van. Later on, the van ran out of gas. A mile before a gas station, Utah pulled us over.
Damn van running out of gas like that.
I know. We're like in this like canyon. It was like crazy canyon. Utah cops pull us over like, oh shit. And, and you know, like, look, we just bought this van. We had a headlight out.
Utah's pretty.
Yeah. And he's like, I've seen crazy shit in this canyon. You be careful. We're just like,
oh. Oh, really? Like what? Like some methed out shit? Some breaking
Bad
shit?
I think he was talking about wildlife, but maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe some breaking okay. Are you into the Breaking Bad?
Okay, so I want to be into it, and I think I will be into it shortly. I just watched the second episode of the first season last night.
Oh, shit.
But I fell asleep.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to watch it again.
After that second episode, you're not going to be able to stop. I feel like it takes two or three.
I'm a huge True Blood fan.
I've never seen it.
Watch the first episode of the first season of True Blood.
Okay.
And it's amazing premise. It's
great. I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I got sucked into Breaking Bad last year, and you know, the season finale for this season this summer just aired like yesterday or two days ago.
They play that stuff at the Central Cinema.
No.
Like they just had the finale 3 or 4 days ago.
Here. Oh, I didn't know that.
So keep your eye on their
okay.
Whatever, because they do that stuff a lot. They do the TV dinner nights and
okay.
They play that stuff.
I didn't know that. It sucks. There's season 5 was like got split off into two seasons, something stupid, and then the second half is gonna be next summer.
That's fucking lame.
I know. I was like, cool, Breaking Bad, nice knowing you, not going to care in a year. Like,
right.
Good job.
I think The Walking Dead, which is not bad, did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the money thing. I don't really know, but that sucks. But yeah, you know, the episode that I watched, the one right before I'm about to watch, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I was floored.
Breaking Bad.
It's really good. it's the shit.
Okay.
Next level television.
Well, onward and upward for Taco Cat. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. It seems like it's doing really well, your band, and I'm really happy to get you at this point in your trajectory to come in and talk about things. It's really awesome.
Thank you so much for asking me. I know you asked me a couple times, and I was like, "What?" But I'm really glad I got to come here today. It's been really fun, and I hope
super fun. Yeah.
I hope that all of our big lofty dreams come true.
Yeah.
Because we have them. We're going to shoot for it.
And you're doing well.
Thank you.
Hardly Art is basically Sub Pop.
I mean.
And you can't fuck with Sub Pop.
No, you can't. It's true.
It's a lot of muscle.
We lucked out. Yeah, it is. They have all the resources that Sub Pop has.
Hawaii trips every year. That's
muscular. That's a muscular trip. They take a company trip every year. New Zealand was one of them. Mexico, I think. Hawaii. Wow. I went on the Hawaii trip, like I said. And I would never have gone to Hawaii if Sub Pop hadn't taken me with them.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Living the dream right now.
Living the dream. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, Lila Maupin of Taco Cat. You've been listening, everybody, to the Shit Show with J-Bo. I'm going to play Crabs, Trashies, Shocking Blue, They Might Be Giants, and John Williams. And then be back to some other programming that's preordained. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And see you next week with, who's coming here? Eric Miller. And he's a cool mofo. He's in the scene for sure, more in the folky scene. But he's great. He hosts an open mic and puts out great music. All right, Lila. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
See you next time.
Or J-Bo.